Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Spocast. I'm Johnny Cashmere. I'm here with Big 80s Donnie B. What's up, brother?
What's up, my friend? Congratulations on the big show last weekend. I heard a lot of positive feedback.
Thank you, my brother. Let's get Phil Stamper in here, the president. What's up, man?
Hey, everybody. How you doing today?
What up, Phil? Good to see you, my man. How you feeling?
It's a great day.
I love that the crutches are right behind you there, brother.
I love it.
It's like Tiny Tim in the corner.
Yeah. Do you have a grabber to get the crutches for you?
No. Right. I'm not that bad off.
Let's work on that. All right. The usuals are popping in. Let's get another usual in here. Tommy Grayson. What's up, brother?
Whoop, whoop. Tommy Grayson in the house. What up, though?
Backseat boys up in this piece. Gotta love it. Guys, we got so much to talk about today. We're going to talk about, we got to recap the event. We got to at least talk a little bit about the event. I've been through hell. I've seen better days, so to speak. I felt better. I still haven't been back to the gym, but we're going to talk about all that in a little bit. And we have a mystery OG tonight. Plus, we're going to announce a huge announcement. I always say the biggest announcement in the history of Spo Wrestling. When Spo Wrestling started on New Year's Eve of last year, that's not a big history. So it's believable that every announcement really is the biggest, right, Nate? Isn't that right?
Yeah. That's true. It tops the next one, tops the next one, tops the next one.
Yeah. Exactly.
I like that pattern.
It's a time-honored tradition in independent wrestling. Can we all at least agree in that?
I agree.
Trying to top your last one, right, no matter what. Yeah. So, Donnie B, how was your week, brother? Anything to bring us up to speed on?
Oh, it was great, man. Just a lot of activity last week. The kids' summer is in full effect. Just tons of activity with field hockey and cheerleading and, you know, all that stuff. And
nice.
Just tons of stuff, bro. But it's been great. A couple concerts down Camden. Great, great facility, that Camden Waterfront Arena. Saw Sam Hunt there the other night. Kudos to my friends for the VIP stuff. Yeah, it was great, dude. It was a great time.
I didn't know you were so close by. Was it fun?
Yeah, brother. But yeah, it was cool, man. Easy.
Did it rain? It's an outdoor venue. Did you get rain or was it nice?
No, it was last Thursday night. It was great, man. A great show. Sam Hunt's a good entertainer. It ended pretty on time, and it was an easy out right out of the parking lot. It took us about 15 minutes. That was it. And I was home in about an hour, so no complaints.
Do you think they had a plan B in case it rained?
You should always have a plan B. If you're a promoter and you're promoting or a concert, anything, rodeo or circus, wrestling, I don't care what it is, you got to have a plan B.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you on that, brother. For sure. So we have a lot of announcements, but guys, first thing I got to talk about, no matter how exciting everything was on Saturday, all right? And let's real quick, we might as well just get some of this out of the way. And I did a viewer discretion advisory because we're going to be, there's some curses in like the thing I got to show you with my brother, Robbie, he's got a mouth like a sailor. It's disgusting. So plus we're going to see some blood. So I'm just warning everyone right now, if you have sensitivities, if it offends you, maybe you want to close your ears or eyes. But this is what happened. Yeah. This is post-match. All right. Post-match. So Donnie, Jordan Oliver legitimately blew out his ACL. You probably heard about this.
Yeah, poor kid. I feel bad for him.
Right. Well, anyway, he gave the belt to Face.
Okay.
Gave it to him. So I said, well, if you're going to do that, then that tonight's match is for the belt. So I end up winning the belt. This is the post-match wreckage. I'll just show you this real quick. All right, so you get the idea of what I went through. And ref Jason Feinberg, by the way, what a trooper. Anyway,
yeah, it's something.
So while that's happening, I'm in the ring, Donnie, Phil, I know you couldn't make it either. And I decide, I had my bell rung, man. You saw me. You saw the condition I was in. I was barely coherent. And I'm on the microphone. And I guess I turn into Cody Rhodes at the end of Raw when the lights go off and the cameras go off and I'm just talking to people and Pat Dynamite comes in, the back seats barely could even come through the curtain. We're all in there, not paying attention, making fools of ourselves. And Jordan Oliver steals Pat's dog.
Ugh.
Just right out of the ring. And this watch, talk about despicability to a new level. I'm mad I even got to show this.
That's right, Channing. We got the dog. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. He's coming for you in Philly. I'll catch you back, buddy. That's right, Fat Dynamite. That's right, baby. We got your little dog. You're not going to get a belt. And you're never going to see Tiny again.
It's the wicked wrestler of the West out here.
Woo! Right. Woo! Woo!
You got him, Jono?
I thought this was Gotham, not Oz.
Yeah, man. Well, that's sickening, dude.
Tiny held hostage.
Jordan. Yeah, I like three. Jordan, but Johnny, this is sad. Like, that's pathetic, dude. There's no way in the world that was Jordan's plan, by the way. I guarantee it was that sack of dog shit, no pun intended, and well, pun intended, in the middle, Dewey. I guarantee he thought of this. Jordan Oliver did not come up with the idea to steal Pat Dynamite's dog.
Right.
Dewey did.
Like it's some kind of big idea.
Yeah.
Stealing a dog. The dog was over, Donnie. Pat had to get out of the ring because the crowd was chanting Tiny. He had to go get the dog, come back in the ring, hold it up so the crowd could get it, and then start the match. That's two Max. Events in a row now that Tiny, like, steals the friggin' show. No pun intended.
And then they stole him.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't wind up like the boss man's, Al Snow's dog. I hope not.
Too soon.
Come original. We got really? To come original.
25 years.
I know.
Oh.
No, we're South Philly originals. We're not gonna.
All right.
But here, this was my post-match gimmick here, guys. I don't know if you want to see it. They give a little zoom in there. Check out the old hairline. Oh my gosh.
The RVD flex.
I found bits of glass in my hair in yesterday's shower. So figure that out.
Yeah.
It's graphic, I know. Look away. Look away if it offends you.
I mean, bro, you advertised the deathmatch show. Ooh, Jesus. Nobody can accuse you of throwing a swerve or a curveball. I mean, you fucking went there as advertised.
Well, that was skewers, Donnie. Remember the time you did skewers in that match with us?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't know.
The closest I've come to a skewer is eating off of it. Like I just did 45 minutes ago. Steak tips from the German butcher. Thank you very much. Shout out. But that's where I just literally had a skewer.
Well, this is what my brother Robbie had to say. Viewer discretion advised for about 12 different reasons going into this one. So pay attention, everybody.
I don't mean to be an ungrateful prick, but when Robbie Illuminati comes to SPO Wrestling, I can't even walk down the street. I can't even walk down these shit streets of Gloucester City without being surrounded by SPO fans. SPO. SPO. See what the fuck I'm talking about?
S-P-O.
Kashmir, S-P-O. You can thank me for this house. S-P-O. You can thank me for these fans. S-P-O. And when you go over the bridge to South Philly, where you only exist because of blackout, you can fucking thank me. GQ, Rick Blade, you want to just pop back in and pop back out. Pop back into the wrestling business. All right, shut the fuck up. They get the point. Rick Blade, GQ, you want to just pop back in the wrestling business? Then I hear you in the back complaining about the weed smoke. Because you got to go to a job on Monday. You got to go take care of your wife and kids on Monday. We don't fucking take care of our kids in blackout. What we do is we get shit done. So you want to come to South Philly with the South Philly originals. You want to come to South Philly with the motherfucking South Philly-onaire. Well, SPO is coming to South Philly, and we are issuing a challenge. Let's do it again, but let's do it South Philly style. Rick Blade, GQ, you fucking cunts.
Damn.
South Philly street fight. I will see you motherfuckers in the streets.
Now, first of all, I want to apologize to our fans, BJ, all the guys that were out there. My brother Robbie, it's like he knows he can't get fired, so he acts like an asshole. I'm so sorry he spoke to you guys like that.
The words of Robbie Marino were not endorsed by Spo Wrestling and its associates.
Absurd. Just absurd that he gets that crazy about stuff. He's always, you know, you see this passion that runs through my body, runs through me. It runs through him too. So
there might be
anyway,
something wrong with him. Yeah.
He's different. But guys, we have to make him big. We have a pretty big announcement. We're gonna announce our next date, our next venue. I'm not going to do it this second, but I will tell you guys this. I'll give you a little hint. There's a reason that the season of death is still above me. There's a reason that I'm still shrouded, even though the season of death is supposed to be over. So before we get to that, I'm going to bring in my mystery OG because he needs to be here. But before we bring him in, I'm going to show you a clip from the Acid Fest. Check this out during my match with Devin Moore in the main event. That was the late Max Smack, and that was before him, that was Doomsday, Danny Rose, the Doomer himself.
There he is.
In the house.
All right.
Hello, lads.
Brother, it's so good to have you, man. We can hear you okay. There's going to be a slight lag because you're on your phone, but that's all right. We'll just take it nice and slow, brother. Listen, it's glad to have you. Haven't talked to you in forever, brother. Like, haven't talked to you literally since that day at the Acid Fest. How the hell are you, man?
I guess lots going on. I mean, I'm a business. Really, I mean, after wrestling, I have 16-year-old twin boys. I started my own company. I started a television company October 26, 2010. And with one phone call and one that's it. And then off the races now. It's, 13 years later or so, 14 years later. And I have six technicians and a couple people at the front office and just rocking and rolling.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. That is banging, dude.
Thank you. This lag is going to be brutal for me.
I know. That's all right. We'll get you back on. Listen, we'll get you back on another time. Hang out here for a minute.
Oh, fuck.
I know. I'm sorry. What am I? There's nothing else we can do, my man. Let's try to figure out another way to do this.
No.
I'm going to pull you off.
No, we can still hang out and kind of.
All right.
All right.
All right, I'm going to make our announcement right now. I want you here for this, all right? I want to see when you make this announcement. All right, so guys, we had an awesome event, all right? It was great. It blew our minds. We didn't expect it to be as fun and awesome and great time as it was. So by popular demand, we have no choice. We have to run another event before we go to Philly, okay? So we've decided that we're going to run again right there in Gloucester City in the same building again, but this time we're going to do it a little bit differently. So check this out, and then we'll explain. All right. So you see the quote there by the man himself, John Zandig. John Zandig was in the house on Saturday. He was there. He watched the show. He enjoyed it. That's the second event he's been to. He believes in Spo Wrestling. He believes in all of us. So if you guys are doing your math, September, we're going to be gone. Me, the Backseat Boys, we're all going to be on tour for JCW. So September 14th, we're not going to be at the event. We need someone else there. Someone else to run that event, someone that we can count on and trust to bring things to the level it's supposed to go to. So tomorrow I meet with John Zandig himself. We are going to try to make this event a John Zandig event. It will be CZW 01 in SPO in Gloucester City, nice. New Jersey on September the 14th. And tickets are already on sale. So check that out at spowrestling.com. A lot more going to be coming from that. You'll hear a lot more over the next couple of weeks from me, from John Zandig. And we're going to try to figure out exactly how to do this and how to make it awesome. Because as you can see, the OGs are flooding back and the time is right. Do you agree, my friend Doomer?
100%. Rock and roll, baby. All in.
The bicep. There you go. I love it. So there you go, guys. So that's what we're going to try to do. So it's going to look like. So there you go. So September the 14th, guys, that's the new date. Gloucester City, same building and already signed, 100% guaranteed to be there in action as of this moment. The Feral Face will return to action. Not sure exactly what, but if you guys saw the match with me and him, you know that he's a different kind of person. He's a different kind of wrestler. And I hate to say it, but I almost have respect for the man. So we'll see what happens with that. So what do you think, Tommy? What do you think of this?
You know, big news announced. Obviously, if there's one person that we trust, and we, I mean, you know, the Backseat Boys, myself, yourself, and JP, obviously, if there's one person that we trust collectively to get shit done for an ultra-violent event, it's John Zandig. You know, he was there for our first event. He was there for, you know, the last event that we just had this past weekend. And I think that, you know, Zandig's one of those guys where you might not see or hear from him all the time, but if you need him, you call him and he'll be there.
That's right.
And I think right now we need him.
We do. You know, when we were in, when we were going to Japan and Zandig was in Japan, you know, he would have me help run the events. He'd help Robbie help run the events. Z-Bar, Danny, I'm sure you probably help run the events. I mean, that's how it is. That's how it was. And with us going on tour in JCW, we got to come back with a banging show, man. This next event has to be as sick as awesome as the last one, period. Top notch. And it was good top to bottom. All the wrestlers worked their ass off. I'm not saying the show was awesome because I...
He was so hard before he got bounced off his own show.
He spoke so hard, connection want to find me. Oh, is he back in? Let's see. There he is.
That's what you want. That's what you want to have happen.
Spoke so hard, the stream want to find you.
Yeah, no, I'm down the shore, and we were having flooding here and stuff. It was crazy. So, yeah, it's raining down the shore, Donnie. Did you realize that?
Oh, yeah. Who would have thought that would ever happen?
It's like, hey guys. Rain.
Yo.
Should I take this time to go get my son's laptop, have him come out, show me how to do it? Also, first time ever sure. Using earbuds without sure. A wire? Ever.
Yeah. Go for it, man. We got some time. Right. Go for it.
Cool, here? Man.
Same link. Leave? Same link. Ahead, yep.
Bro. I want to leave.
All right. Cool.
Word.
All right. So unfortunate that happened, but it's good to have Danny Rose here. And guys, you know, I got a couple more guys that have been calling me from the old days that want to start coming around. So I've been talking to them. So, you know, things are going to start getting crazy. But let's talk about this past weekend, guys, if you don't mind. Phil, I know you weren't there, but Phil, what a rock star you are. Like, people don't realize it. Like, you couldn't make the drive because of your leg. Understandable. You sat home and watched the live feed and put out, like, post after post on X and just did an amazing job for us. Thank you so much for having our backs, man. That was huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think people forget that, like, it takes a village to run a wrestling event. You have to have so many people involved to just make things run. And I was glad I could do something, you know?
You held it down big time, Phil. And just to piggyback off of what Johnny was saying, you know, our production, I think, was by far, you know, in every way, shape or form, the best it's ever been. You know, shout out to Pine Grove Pacific Association, all the guys over at Super Crazy who stepped it up and helped run things behind the scene. All of, you know, the dedicated people that we have in SPO behind the scenes, helping, making sure that the ship was ran smooth so that, you know, the performers could just perform. Everyone stepped it up to play this time around. And I think that, you know, Phil, you were obviously just, you played a big part in making sure that, you know, the show was, you know, seen. So, you know, just, I thank you again and just tip my hat to everybody who went above and beyond on Saturday, just in the ring and, you know, behind the scenes to making sure that it was a success, you know, thank you.
Oh, yeah. It was a good night, man. Really good night for everybody. You know, the event started with MLJ. You got to love MLJ. You know, everyone's favorite friend. He actually lives near me down here at the shore. So I actually get to see more of him this based on the region I live in now, which is wonderful. So he was out there, did awesome. First match, I believe, was the Skid Row Training Academy Spectacular, which was Primal Fear, Gabriel Hodder, and Matt Omen. And they took on Tim Dynamite and Hyena Hex. And wow, what a great match these guys put on. What a clinic, right? Did you like it?
Oh, man, it was great. You know, Hyena Hex, I've known him for a long time, probably as long as I've known Primal Fear, actually. You know, they all go back to the Monster Factory. And he pulled off. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put that up. When it kicked me off, it... it undid everything. Sorry, bro. Go ahead.
No, you're good, because I was literally just going to talk about that. He pulled off a springboard corkscrew crossbody, you know, and I was like, wow.
I'll show it.
You know?
I'm going to show it right here. Yeah, do it. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. Innovative.
Like, what? And it's not like the highest of ceilings either. That dude's got some good balance. That was a really good match, man. Good stuff. Way to represent the school.
Mm-hmm. Very good hang time.
Man. Yeah, bro. I like the Primal. Like I said, the Primal Fear guys, they can definitely go. I think they, like I said in the past, they just need to flush out what exactly Primal Fear is a little bit more, I think. We need to hear a little more from them as far as promos and talking. Athletically and the look and everything else, dude, they're $1 million. If somebody could just put them in the lab somewhere under a mad scientist and just kind of tool them up a little bit, I think they could be spoken in the same vein as, you know, I don't want to put them in rarefied air as you guys and like the rep and some of these other teams out there. But, bro, I think they're $1 million. They just got to, like I said, just fine tune that deal a little bit. Let me know as a fan, what exactly is Primal Fear? You know, I still don't know, but that's it, man. They got everything else.
Yeah. They are good trainers.
They are
too.
Good. Yeah, they are good. We wrestled them on Friday at a super crazy, actually the night before at the Skid Row Academy. You know, they're Primal Fear, Matt and Manny, and Gabe Hodder trio, but primarily it's Matt and Gabe that are the tag team. I think they're as solid as a tag team as, you know, you could find in these parts of the country. You know, they all their stuff is in sync. They have matching gear. They have energy. They feed off of each other when they do promos.
They're in shape. Yeah,
they're in shape, you know, and they're easy to they're good men behind the scenes. Good. You know, the both of them are, you know, they're not right. You know, losers.
Good guys. Exactly.
They're normal human beings is what you're trying to say.
Correct.
Yeah. Very rare
in the wrestling business. Go figure, right?
Yep. And they train down there. Manny is every Monday and Thursday, and they're there as co-trainers as well. And then I'm there on Wednesday. So come on down and see us. That would be tomorrow, me, and then Thursday with Manny right there at Skid Row Academy in the same building that we ran the event in on Saturday. Bada bing. So that was a good match, guys. Great way to open up the show. But the funny thing is, during that whole match, guys, Homeless Von was laying underneath the ring with his legs out. Sleeping. He looked like the Wicked Witch with the legs coming from underneath the house, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Kurt Robinson came out and talked some trash and woke, you know, it's fun. The bumping in the ring did not wake Homeless Von up, but Kurt Robinson getting on the mic and calling him out, that woke him up. And then they had a cool ass match, and the place loves Homeless Von. He had his actual shopping cart there. So that was phenomenal. That was good. Yeah. Good stuff, man.
The place love Homeless Vaughn, and they love them some Joe Clean, who you know, came out shortly thereafter.
Right. It came out from the bathroom like Bill Goldberg. That was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He wasn't having it anymore. And then we had an impromptu match between him and Kurt. So that was a really good thing. And all this is going to be on Trip TV coming up soon. You're going to get to see these matches, everybody. Some clips are out here and there, but mostly you're going to see still photos with us today, just so we can sort of keep it, you know, keep the hype going as we get closer. So
is it just the voice of Kurt Robinson that's making everybody so angry? Like it's like a bag of rocks, like grating against each other. Like
it could be, you know, I got about 3 messages to the Spo IG account saying like Kurt's my favorite from 3 completely different people. So he's resonating. I'm not sure why, which is interesting. I mean, he's talented obviously, but no, he's definitely resonating. So good for him. But yeah, this match, it was something else. They really, they worked hard. It was good. So that's definitely a good one. Then came the Tiger Cage match. Awesome match. Again, these guys are crazy. The things they do. Fantastic match. Charlie Tiger is like none other. Let's be honest. He's like the Rhino of the Indies right now. He's capturing hearts and minds. People love him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's got something. That kid, listen, you can't teach that shit. Either you have it or you don't. You and Trent had it. It's very hard to get it. Once you have it, it's hard to lose. I mean, Charlie Tiger could probably get to the point in the Indies where he could just go out in the ring and fucking read the back of a cereal box and people would pop for him. You're either over or you're not in the business. That's it.
Yeah.
He's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the crowd loved him. They were chanting Tiger all along the entire time. He actually finished the match with a Tiger driver and threw Griffin McCoy into the same cage that he wheeled him out on previously. So everything really comes full circle.
Yes, he has served his penance in the eyes of the court.
Well, exactly. I tried to tell you the whole time. This all started because of one screenshot of a Facebook post that, you know, I was told to pass along to you, Donnie B. So I will forever be grateful for Underfaker, you know, sentencing him.
On July 16th at 7:28 p.m. as the representative of the court, I would like to tell Mr. Stamper that he can relay to his client that he has deemed his sentence complete and he is free and clear of any obligations due to the court at this time. Yes. But now he has history with the court, so he has to beware coming back before the bench.
Uh-oh.
Hey, so. you can't use a previous repealed judgment against somebody.
I disagree.
Yeah.
You're right. You're not supposed to, but...
We'll have to book a match at our next event to iron this all out, guys.
It'll have to be a civil trial next time.
Donnie B versus Charlie Tiger.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
That would be...
I thought he was going to say Phil Stamper. Phil's got one leg. I can barely move. So.
Oh, my God.
That'll really bring him in.
We're going to do Spo Wrestling Night Court.
We should. So then we had the number one contenders match. Sonny Kiss, Pat Dynamite. Pat Dynamite eked out the victory. Brandon may have made a fast count. I don't know. Brandon tried to be like, call it down the middle. You can tell, but I don't know. And look there on the right with Tiny. See, we probably shouldn't have put Tiny on the match graphic. It probably like is what made High Five think like, well, let's get our hands on that little dog. I feel responsible for that, guys. That's more collateral damage. Like when bad things happen in the back seats, it upsets me because I feel like it's because of my history sometimes. Like I feel like that's what's happening with Tiny now. Like Tiny's our collateral damage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned Brandon. Agreed. You know, I think when Joe Clean, you know, made his entrance from the bathroom stall, I think Brandon was standing right there. You know, you're going to see eventually on Trip TV, Brandon Downey was waiting in line to use the stall and Joe Clean just opens the door, cracked him right in the head. So I think Brandon might've been a little woozy heading into that match.
That could be too. And then what was the next one we had? It was actually time for the big EDM. The lights went out, the glow sticks, everyone that came in got a glow bracelet, and it was just neat looking, man. The body paint, the music pumping, these guys all fighting. Helter Skelter is now known as Gruesome, and he's the manager of the Audacity, and it's just wonderful now. So, Doomer, you hear us?
I got you. Sound like a robot, but I'm in.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Good deal, brother. Is there a lag? Three, two, one.
Yep.
Oh, this heartbreaking. It might be the area because this happened with Deeds too. I don't know what's going on. We got to figure out our tech. But anyway, you look and sound great. We can hear you,
man.
Yo, give us a few, man. Talk to us. What's
up? Really? All right.
Yeah, let him just talk.
All right, man. No problem. I'll just sit and hang out.
No,
I
talk.
I want to hear about you guys. I want to hear me talk. How about you talk? What do you want me to talk about? Give me a topic. We'll talk about it.
Ask us any question you want. How about that?
Look, you're the host. You ask me questions.
I'll talk. Listen, I'll talk. You know, what was cool back in the day is there was certain groups in the country in certain areas. Like my group was like Nova, Devin, Ace, Taris, Rocco Dorsey, all of us. And then the Maryland guys, I always thought Danny was head and shoulders right with all those guys like Mark Schrader, Adam Flash, obviously RJ, Corporal, Axel. Like, so whenever I would go down to Maryland, Danny was always a smiling face. He was always cool. I never saw him be an asshole to anybody or take liberties. And it was his house. Like, even on all the shows we did for Carino up in PWF, I always liked Danny. I always thought he was with a good crew, like the mirror image of all of us from Jersey. My time around Danny was always well spent. I would never sully myself and throw in with a band of misfits. Like if I didn't think they were honorable people, that's why I would always go to Maryland, whether I was managing Julio or Two Dope and Sideswipe. It was always fun for me.
Yeah.
And it was the guys in the locker room that made it fun. And Danny was a big part of that. I think Danny deserved more than he got in the business. I think today, if his skill set would have translated better today, almost like, and this is going to sound crazy, I almost think that Danny was like an earlier or first version of like a Kevin Owens. That's kind of what, when I used to see Danny on tape, like I always thought, it's the first time I ever saw Kevin Owens, I'm like, that guy's kind of like Doomsday Danny Rose, kind of like the same thing, like a punch you in the face kind of guy and bring his lunchbox while he's doing it. Like, so for me, I always thought Danny had a great run, and just to see him A, alive, and B, prospering with a family and a good solid man, like I said about Rick Blade a few weeks ago, that's why I like coming back and dabbling here a little bit in the business, just to see successful human beings that are still with us. So Danny, I tip my hat to you. I told Deeds the same thing a few weeks ago. Deeds was always over with me, but I put you in that same class with Deeds and all those guys.
That's great, man. I greatly appreciate that. I can say that, honestly, I think over the years, I never thought you appreciated me too much. I never thought you thought that much of me back in the day. And I thought, honestly, because I thought I was a prick. You know, Flash and I, and me, Nick, Flash, the Rachis, we were all just arrogant dicks and just kind of, am I allowed to say whatever I want in here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were just arrogant, you know, and I thought other people deserved better from me in the locker room. You know, as a, you know, to the younger guys, I felt that I might've been a little too brash and a little too, you know, just over the top and, you know, dicking around, but I could have taken it a little more seriously back then. Would have been nice. You know, I went from 96 to 07. In Maryland is not really, that really wasn't the greatest time for me. I was in MEWF. Axel said, when they started MCW, I was MEWF champ. And Axel said, listen, if you jump ship with the belt, you know, back in those days, and I'll bring in MCW. So he brought me in to MCW. I went, I jumped ship. I was a douched whipwreck, you know, and just dropped it and left. But I tagged with RJ. RJ just got into business. So we started the Family of Freaks. And he and I just did this Marilyn Manson type gimmick because we were just with Axel and Headbanger Mosh and Corporal and just kind of, you know, did our thing. But there was no Rachis there. No Flash was there, but he was doing his own singles thing. He was killing it. But they didn't like me very much because I just wasn't one of them. At least I don't think they did. You know, the McDevitts, good people. I have nothing bad to say about anybody. Wrestling Julio was one of the greatest matches I ever had. It was awesome. But I think their time with me was, it was time for them to let me go. But that was also right when I was, you know, I was the type of guy, you know, when guys get trained, a lot of times they stick with their trainer. They stick with their one town, their one show. They're just trained by Bad Crew. So they wrestle for Bad Crew or Deeds and that's it. You know, two times a year or 20 times a year. But I always liked every place I went was always, you know, Donnie, Trent, Johnny, were, you know, the Red, you know, Maximo, you know, those guys, you know, those guys that you just saw everywhere, saw them all the time. And you take it for granted, you know, and then you get something like, you know, when Trent happened to Trent and, you know, all the other guys and, you know, we were there for Chris Cash and, you know, and the Nate Hatred and the list just goes on and on, you know, but anyway, CZW is where I kind of found my home. EWF with Bad Crew, CZW was definitely where I found my home, and having that first couple of times in Sewell before we got the arena. And then me working Zandig on opening night, you know, was, or you want to call it working? This is more of a kind of a squeezosh, but, you know, but it was just awesome, you know, having that crowd, that arena. And that's where I felt at home. Plus, I was at my leanest. That was 2001, 2003. I was at my best and just rocking it. It felt good.
And I just want to say that we had you booked on here as the mystery OG way before the idea of asking Zandig to help us out by bringing 01 CZW back at our next event. Like the coincidence of having you here and this all happening is pretty amazing. And you know, obviously I have to ask you, what are you doing come September, say the 14th, brother?
Well, I don't have my calendar. Listen, like I said, I use a paper calendar because I'm old and I can't believe I'm not wearing these. I can't tell if I see you better with or without them, but, and when I get these glasses, you know, I said, listen, when I got glasses, I said, listen, I need glasses that look like the warden from Shawshank. And they did pretty good. So that's what I wanted. The warden from Shawshank. So I have to check my... Actually, I know September... You say September 14th?
Yes, sir.
Jeez, I don't know, man. I'll definitely look I'll shoot you a text. Absolutely.
Look it up.
Brother, I wish I would have came to the last one, you know, at the arena. So,
yeah, but, well, I'll infest the building and you'll have to come clean it the hell out for us.
You know, you know that.
Clean out all the rats.
You know that. Yeah, that's, I think there's a subject we're not going to touch on this one.
No, I meant rats. Yeah.
Always on
rock. Only you could make me laugh when I'm in this much pain, man. Oh, my God. This is. Yeah.
So tell me about that. How was the death match, man? I mean, a little crazy. I mean, I saw some clips, but been through some shit, but never done an absolute. Oh, maybe I did. I don't fucking know. I don't remember.
Well, you're pretty tough too. Your thumb was pretty bad, but yeah, here's some pictures. Like that's me at the end. I don't know. I did a little, they're silver spray painted light tubes. I did like a Nightwing tribute thing with my entrance, you know?
Yeah.
And then he did like a Joker thing. That's me. Okay. I actually had taken the skewers out of my head, and then that's me stabbing his hand with them because he's choking me with some rope that he had. But all like, right. Just look at the ring. Look at the ring down the bottom.
Dude, I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how any of you guys do it. Like when I see, like I said, when I see you guys, I see you, I see Ruckus, Valentine, Quiet Storm. It's so impressive. It is. I can't believe what you, and then I see Dewey, you know, still out there running his mouth. Doing this thing. It's great to see. I can't believe it, you know, and I'm so impressed and I'm proud to be your guys' buddy, you know, still after all these years and not speaking for 20 years, you know, whatever it is, you know, no, never any heat, just time.
No,
time life. Goes by, man. Yeah. Life gets
shit
you. It
happens.
Absolutely.
You being a part of SPO in any way, whether it's production, whether it's backstage, whether it's promos, whether it's a Piper's Pit type segment, whether we get you back in the ring, I don't care what it is. We need to have you because you have a brilliant mind for the business. And, Well, you said that you'll do it. You said something about when pigs fly, you would come back. Well, here's Gee about to take flight.
Oh my God.
How's Gee?
That's me down there. So if Gee can come back, if we can get, and Gee was at the show, Brian Logan was at the show.
Yes, you Saturday. Said. You said, so listen, I'm in. I don't know how I'm going to do it or what I can do, or what I'm here to, what I'm willing to, when we meet face to face and chat, I got to do something. I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited for when I saw the new back seats. I'll be honest. When I heard the new back seats, I was like, nah, I don't know. Do they deserve it? Do they deserve the name? And honestly, I haven't seen too much. I still haven't seen too much, you know, it's just not the, I haven't been around the indies too much. So, but I'm really looking forward to it. But I did know that once he trusted you with the name, and especially with, you know, Trent not being with us, and he would know that Trent would agree. So, and Donnie B would agree. So I'm looking forward to seeing more. Looking forward to seeing more of the new back seats and meeting you guys and actually speaking a little bit and whatnot. Back. Are these the two dudes? Are these both back streets? Sorry, I don't know. I see everybody's kind of free. There you go. Yankees. Yankees is back seat, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And that's Nick Burke down at the bottom. Is that Burke? No. With the red sunglasses?
No. Bill Stamper. He works for Corporal. He works for MCW. Nick Burke.
Okay,
that's
cool.
The greatest fucking thing ever.
Now I feel like I need to like find a corner somewhere.
Sorry, bud. Bud.
Phil's a great guy, a manager, kind of a jack of all trades. He works for Corporal. He works all over the place. He's
awesome.
El Presidente of pro wrestling.
Awesome. I saw those. I've seen the MCW when they changed their logo, and it was just, it was cool, man. It was cool to see that those, I don't know if you're backup running or if you're always running, but it's always nothing but mad respect for those guys. When Schrader came and sat me down because I drove to a show in Laurel, Delaware, Frisco. I drove to a show down there in the gym, man. And I worked good looking little kid, young man in the business, baby, super baby face. Man, I wish I remember his name. But
Woogie Brown? No.
No. No. Really good kid. Damn. Come on.
Well, that's like Deeds. When Deeds was on here and I said, who are your mentor?
No memory.
Like, oh, yeah, some kid. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. So this could be Martin. Gregory Martin.
Oh, yeah.
So I worked Gregory Martin. We worked many a times, but I always had that, what I called the Rachi release plex, where I just did the suplex, but I had this thing where I'd throw him off, which I still can't believe nobody does. I can't believe nobody does that on a regular basis. I can't believe nobody does the Rachi, I call it the Rachi release plex. And I can't believe nobody does the hard buckle where I slam into it, which I stole from Tommy Dreamer when I saw him do it once on TV. I stole the hot plate from, I saw Lenny Lane of all people on a WCW.
Absolution.
On a Thunder. Saw Lenny Lane do that. So I took that from him. Where were we at? Oh, Gregory Martin. So anyway, I did the Rachi, I did a superplex. And I did the Rachi, I did the release plex just because that's what I'm used to doing. And I mean, safe, everybody was fine, but it was fucking wrong. And I didn't do it on purpose to hurt anybody. It was just kind of how I work, you know, how I worked, because I don't remember anything in the ring. I'm fucking, you know, one, you know, I can't, you know, I just on go. You know, then Schrader sat me down. I wasn't on the show to begin with, but I drove all the way to Laurel. So he was nice enough to put me on the show. And then I did that. And I know they found it unsafe. And listen, it was heartbreaking. I cried. You know, I cried when I left CZW the one time. It was heartbreaking. But I know they had to move on. And, you know, never any heat, man. Seriously, I just wish everybody all the best. You know, I'm in a better place and another place than I was, you know, years ago.
Yeah. Well. That's cool. I'm glad to hear it, brother. And see, people that are just getting a taste of you, like they already hear the way you talk and the cadence in your voice and the inflection. And you can probably already extrapolate people that this dude cuts good promos. Like, this is a good dude to have around the locker room. Like, one of the best promos ever in the history of Fake UTV was him and John House and the SAT promo outside on the car.
Oh, my God. I still watched that.
Beyond hysterical. And
you know, the only thing I don't like about some of those promos, especially the one with Trent and Z-Bar, was also another one. We had that liberty to swear when we wanted to swear, and we just did way too much. You know, I did way too much. Oh, I swore every other word just because I could. And I wish I didn't do that. It was definitely nice to slip some in there. I don't know if you ever lived years and years down the road, the movie Rampage with The Rock. Dude, He says shit in that movie like a 5 dozen times, and it ruins the whole thing for me. You know, it's like, he just didn't need to do that. But anyway, so yes, that was good. It's just, I with Trent and Z-Bar, same thing with the Juventud. They were talking about Juventud and me not being involved with the super lightweight tournament or whatever it was. Swore too much, but I mean, it's just awesome times and, you know, great promos, and remember every second of it.
Good stuff. Donnie, I want to tell you real quick, Kathy Fitz sent me these pictures and you weren't here last week, so I want you to identify. And Doomer, you can play too. Phil, you may know this. Tommy, you might. So, well, first of all, we know who this is, but we don't know what the hell's going on.
I do.
Is that Rick Moranis holding you?
No, that's Kathy Fitzpatrick.
Right.
Oh, I thought that was Rick.
But who's behind Kathy? Is that Mike Taris?
No, that was a guy. I can't remember his name. He was a big muscular guy, pretty cool. He used to wear like a trench coat. I think he was trying to be a worker. Or he was. Somehow he was friends with Fitz and Hoops, and we brought him in for Wildwood shows. Fitz and Hoops wanted to do like this gimmick where they were like a managerial team, like the
right
sisters or something, and this guy was like their bodyguard. I had been doing a series of matches with Dave Mysterio in Wildwood, right. A whole feud throughout the summer, and that was a gimmick, something I came out in a wheelchair and I fell out of it and exposed me that I was okay, and Fitz picked me up off the ground. That's when Fierro was running Wildwood, and we did like 8 weeks in a row, and on week one, I think it was either, I can't remember if it was Dennis or Dapper or Fierro, I think it was Fierro, they kind of told me I'm on all the shows, so kind of pick something and do it. So I did a little deal with Dave. I said, let's do something different for all 8 weeks leading up to a match, me versus him. And then I put him over, you know, on the final week and all. But it was cool, dude. It was like an 8-week little program we had when I think it was Tommy. He was running every Wednesday or Thursday in Wildwood. He was getting 1,000 people every weekend, dude, every week in Wildwood. I was there. I saw it. So, yeah, it was cool, man. Good times.
Yeah, he probably had a backup plan B, I'm thinking.
He must. Well, he was indoors.
But yeah, I just gave out Feral Faces OnlyFans. You guys saw I survived the OnlyFans deathmatch. As promised, he created his. You know, when we announced the OnlyFans deathmatch, we both had to make OnlyFans pages. That was the deal. So I got to finally delete mine the other day. I hope it doesn't exist anywhere still. Is that the kind of thing that like people can find even though I didn't make it live? I really hope not.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what it is.
All right. That was a test. You all passed. Thank you.
Bill knows.
Wait a minute. Donnie B just said he doesn't know what OnlyFans is.
No, I heard of it. I don't know what Johnny's page is. I never saw that.
So here,
I've heard of the OnlyFans.
I was like, wait a minute. Donnie doesn't know what OnlyFans is.
Link in description.
Link in bio.
So here's the second picture she sent. Does anyone know who these OG workers are? These are not CZW workers, though.
That is Twiggy Ramirez and Madonna Wayne Gacy.
Yes.
Doomer knows that, too.
Yep.
I know Twiggy. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Madonna Gacy. Wayne was Twiggy's like childhood friend, and he was his manager. Super nice dude. They were so cool. I loved Madonna Wayne. Like now, when he wrestled all the NWA Jersey shows he was on with Twiggy. They're a good act. A nice little act together. They were fine.
Yeah.
That's them. Yeah. That's Madonna Wayne and Twiggy.
And Twiggy, we just saw Donnie. If you fans remember a few weeks ago, we showed Donnie interrupting the China Mark Henry date.
That's right.
The guy standing next to Donnie was Twiggy, was this guy
that's
on
right.
the top.
Me, yeah. Twiggy, and Inferno Kid. It was the three of us. And Mike Sheener was with us too, but he was on camera. Yeah, and still
Danny
got paid. Inferno.
Danny Inferno. Oh my God. That's great.
All right.
And I have a quick question. Sorry. Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
I was going to show the next picture. Ask your question. Oh yeah, bro.
Me?
Yeah. Ask.
All right. Backseat. I want to hear about you, man. So, how long you been in, and how long? What did you do prior to being a? What was your character? What was your gimmick before being a backseat? Or were you trained by Johnny and straight through? And you're backseat for life.
So, the abridged version. My brother and I originally. We're trained by Gino Caruso before school hopping all over, I guess, the tri-state. We were known for about 9 years as the Amazing Graysons. It was sort of like a spin on the Amazing Spider-Man and the Flying Graysons from DC. We're a Shoot Brother tag team. I'm about 2 years, 9 months older than he is. So very much had like the Matt and Jeff Hardy style dynamic. Awesome. But you know, it was very just cookie cutter, independent, you know, two kids in tights. And then we eventually landed at WrestlePro for a while and did a few loops out in Alaska, because they also were promoting out in Alaska, where we had the privilege of wrestling Donnie B's brother Nova in Nova's second to last match ever, actually. Wow. And from there, Nova introduced us to Donnie. Donnie happened to be the manager, obviously, of Johnny and Trent originally, and my brother and I were always influenced by Johnny and Trent, and, you know, the rest is history. We wound up meeting at Donnie's last event. I'm drawing a blank on the name. I'm sorry.
But, Contest of Champions.
Contest of Champions. 1,800 people with the main event. With the main match. Event. Yep, the main Sting event. Was. The main Sting was there, and it was Nova's retirement match with Nova and Frankie Kazarian teaming up with Aaron Stevens against Pat Buck, one of my trainers, Brian Myers, and Matt Cardona. And it was there that Donnie and Nova made the decision that we would run in on the match, who would later be saved by Frankie Edgar, MMA legend. So. That was the event we met Johnny at. Johnny managed the SAT that night against the Rep, another tag awesome. Team that, another tag team that we frequently wrestle with. And yeah, you know, we had rebranded sort of like right before meeting up with Johnny as the New Graysons. We were trying to do, you know, sort of like a new metal type of character, and it sort of hit a brick wall around the same time that, like, you know, we met Johnny. So, you know,
awesome.
Yeah, that was in December, and then by March we were already taking bookings, so we've just been doing it ever since March of 2023.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Johnny, you meet them for the first time? What gives you this idea? These are the guys that can use this name and, you know, kind of run with the ball. And then were you already in the business, or did this kind of get you back into managing and then wrestling?
I showed up just because Donnie was doing like a tribute to Trent Acid. He had the Skywalker title made originally, the original Skywalker, Trent Acid Skywalker title. Right. And then things changed due to various reasons, you know, nonsense. And then with Trent's family not wanting the belt and all that bullshit. But anyway, what ended up happening was I went anyway because I'd already said I'd be there. So even though it wasn't an event about Trent anymore, I still went. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the back seats came up to me in the locker room, the back seats. The Graysons came up to me in the locker room, and Tommy said, "Can we take a tag picture together?" And anyone that knows me knows tag team wrestling's my heart. So right away I was like, oh, whoever you are, I love you, you know?
Yep.
And then I realized who they were, and Jordan Oliver had already told me about these guys and that they were big fans of the back seats and stuff. So
yep.
It just seemed to work. And the next day I actually called them and or texted them or something. And mm-hmm. I said, guys, you know, out of everyone I talked to yesterday, which was, it was like a family reunion for me. I mean, Gary Wolf yeah. and all these tons of people I hadn't seen in yeah. years.
Yeah.
They're the, these two stuck out to me the most. Like they're the wow. ones that I feel the magnetic pull to, you cool. know?
That's great.
So the next day was like right around Christmas. It was, it would have been December, and we stayed in touch over Christmas. And then by January we were kind of traveling, and then we announced it. And by March, April, we were wrestling together. So we're still under 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Together. That's so, wow. Yeah. I remember seeing the promos like on YouTube or on Facebook yep. or whatever it was. And you know, you guys out, it's pretty awesome, man. That's mm-hmm. impressive and cool.
Yeah. And when we first started, you know, at the time, Johnny hadn't really gotten back into wrestling yet. I think at the time, no. you know, it was just the idea was just for you to manage and see where it went. And then we started right. training together at Geno's and, you know, going on the road and everything. And one night we were supposed to wrestle a tag team, and surprise, surprise, one of the guys didn't show up. So we made the collective decision. All right, there's six people here, so let's make it a trios match. And Johnny wound up, you know, that weekend, you know, wrestling two impromptu tag match or two impromptu trio matches, just, you know, just because, you know, we threw him to the wolves. And then sure enough, you know, you were back in the ring.
Tell me you had your gear.
Of course.
John fucking real.
Of course.
You had your gear. That's crazy.
Brother, I'm a veteran and a half. I always have my gear.
I hear you.
My knee pads are on right now.
Oh my god!
That's so yeah.
okay. He actually has wrist tape on that he like he'll like roll his sleeves up at night. I've seen him do it, and he'll like actually like undo his wrist tape, you know, like you know, right before he goes to turn his pillow.
Yeah. Yep. Just like that. Okay. Good shit. Oh, but yeah, else? Danny.
What do you got here?
Good shit. So
this is yeah. Sorry. I don't know how long we keep going for. I mean, I could probably
we're good.
Ask
we're,
questions.
We're good. I want to see if you guys recognize how about the reason I'm showing these two is because Jim Kettner's, they're doing the ECWA reunion show coming up soon. So, you know,
okay.
The reason we Boogie Woogie Brown's on our mind, and you know, Reckless Youth is going to be there and Christopher
nice.
Daniels
nice.
And it's, you know, they got a good thing nice. Going. Yeah. So that's why we're showing these people. So who is this? Does anyone right. recognize this person?
That's J.R. Ryder.
J.R.
Bonte.
That's J.R. Ryder right there. Now, I don't know. I told you guys the story once at the Blackwood CYO Center where his music hit. They announced his name. He came out the big door and pushed the metal door real hard, and it hit the kid, and the kid flew against the wall, and he even realized it. That was this guy. Came out like a
I'll
house
tell you
of
what,
fire.
Honestly, they kind of missed it on Kenny because Kenny was down in Ohio Valley. A lot of people don't know this. He was down in Ohio Valley, and he had a whole gimmick. It was called Kenny Knievel. He was doing a evil Knievel gimmick. He rides a motorcycle in real life. He was a stunt man. He had the whole red, white, and blue outfit made. And he was like, he was going to be a former motorcycle stunt man that was now trying wrestling as like a thrill seeker. And I don't know what happened, dude, but I thought it was fucking cool as shit. And they never followed up on it, which I thought was a mistake. But I like Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny's awesome, man. So that'd be good to see him. I think he's there. I'm pretty sure he's at the show.
Oh, I guarantee he'll be there.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I wanted to show him too. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Cool.
And then
I have a question for Danny real quick, if you don't mind me asking, because I've been an admirer of his for a long time. What is your favorite memory of classic CZW, and do you have a favorite match or segment that the Ratchies did? Because you guys were really involved in some of the early CZW stuff.
Oh man, yeah, the Rachi stuff segment CZW would probably be. Opening night, what I actually talked about going in there, it was unfortunate, and I was a little bummed that I wasn't going to get my entrance music because Zandig was in talking, doing the whole deal. Boom, Danny run in, pop, 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 turn into something. Worst Falcon's Arrow ever. off the top, bro. Worst ever. Go ahead, watch it. It is the worst. I didn't know what it was. I've never taken a Falcon's Arrow. I'm talking to John in the back. I said, I don't know what it is. And he's like, you pick up like a suplex, you turn around. Like, I don't know what you're doing. I have no idea. We're on the tables and I'm scared of heights. I'm dying. But anyway, but in that same one, I'm pretty sure that was night one. And maybe it was another night where we went to
the tattoo studio, and we did it live. So we did it during the middle of the match, during the middle of the show, where we hung Zandig on those hooks. They put those hooks through the back. That was, I mean, I was there watching the whole, come on, give me the dude, tattoo dude. Wax. So Wax, you know, giving a little bit of Novocaine, but it's not doing anything. And he's like, just, they're pulling him up like something you pull an engine with. You know what I mean? And he's up there, now, man. And then we just start beating on him because it's got to be fast because that shit hurts. So that's one of my, probably my fondest memory was, or craziest memory was that I wrestled Greg, Tough Enough Greg, which we don't speak anymore, in an I Quit match. All good. We'll talk about that another time. We had an I Quit match, which was pretty cool. And just singing, during the match, I sang, I don't know if in his match, I know I sang, I had him in a camel clutch and singing the entrance, the beginning of Cheers. And then there was another one where I was wrestling a dude from NWA South or something, a little dude that just came out and he sat in there and I sang Hello from Lionel Richie. And that was probably my favorite moment was Hello from Lionel Richie. And look that one up. I don't remember his name. He was only there for a minute. He was with a dude named Azrael. It was around. Remember that Azrael, you know, like the cat from
Gabriel
Gargamel gimmick. Probably. Yeah.
Gabriel. Yes.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember.
One of the Wildside, NWA Wildside guys.
Yes, yep. That's exactly what it was. So that was one of the fondest of CZW best match I ever had. I honestly was for Carino. PWF was solo, not with Rachis. It was a tournament match to decide, I think, who was going to be Carino's heavyweight champion. I'm assuming it was right after 9/11. Everybody was really up in emotions and, you know, it was everything going. And I fought Red early in the night and won, and obviously Red's so easy to work with, and then fought Christopher Daniels and lost, and he went on, I think he fought somebody else. I don't think we fought for the actual title or whatever, Lord of the Ring or whatever it was, but my actual night of wrestling, the guys that I wrestled that I thought were the best wrestlers was those two, and the one I had at MCW with Julio. I remember I wanted to take it home in like 4 minutes with Julio. He's like, no, we're just getting started. Because I was blown up, I'm blown up because I'm nervous. I'm always nervous when I go out there, if I don't look it, I'm always nervous. Best is Rachis. So many. Those promos were so much fun in the locker rooms. The one in Sewell's, they were telling you about the one that Johnny's talking about, the one outside with the Maximos, definitely. You speak it. Yeah.
I'll get that. Really, we'll show that. We got to show. Right. So good.
It's a lot of swearing.
The meat hook one. You guys, you're referring to the pre-tape for Cage of Death 4, where you guys threw him in the truck, correct? Right.
I would say we threw him in a truck, but that happened during the show. It happened during the show.
Yeah.
So it happened during the show. So then when they basically, I think they put him on the screen, we hoist him up and we're beating him with light tubes or whatever we were beating him with, and then got him down, shot back to the show. And then everything was happening. Zandig was legit, beat up from 20 minutes ago to 40 minutes, whatever it was. So yeah, it was pretty, it was pretty intense to be involved with something like that, man.
No shit.
Pretty cool.
If we talk Zandig into doing this, and I think he's going to do it to help out, I think it's going to be a neat thing, man. It's going to be
absolutely
25, absolutely. 24, 23 years later, whatever.
This seriously,
is pretty sick.
Nuts.
But real quick, let's get back. I want to recap the show real quick because we did promise we were going to. So let me just say real quick that we're up to the electronic death match with the Live Danger. Live Danger looking like, action figures come out, place loves them. Awesome, cool ass match. The whole thing was just neat to watch. I don't know how it's going to translate to TV yet. We'll find out. But it was really neat. And everyone there seemed to really enjoy it. At the end of that, Blackout comes out. Robbie comes out. And he hadn't shown his colors yet. He was still, happy Robbie, everyone thought. He pretends he's going to give them a little send-off because, Danny, I don't know if you know it or not, but Live Danger are going to finish their training at the New Japan Dojo on the West Coast. So they're leaving in a few months. And we're so happy and excited for them. I'm going to miss them. We helped launch a fledgling tag team, brother. You just heard the back seats were already a tag team. We helped launch a fledgling team. So it means the world to us. So Robbie and Ruckus turned on him, of course, blah, blah, blah. GQ came out and cut one of the best promos. Like, you can tell GQ in his real life is a salesman. He knows how to hold people's attention. He knows how to stress his syllables and make it. He's like you on the microphone, or like Donnie on the microphone, where it just, he just, you can't look away when he's got your attention. And they attacked him. Rick Blade came out, and dude, Rick Blade wrestled, and it was just to hear the "If Only I Could Fly," and just the way the crowd reacted to him, and just how, just I don't know how to even explain it. Like, look at this. Someone made a sign: "Rick Blade, do a swanton off the roof for my 37th birthday." Like, these people, you know, and it's just so neat. And like, TCK was there, one of the original CZW guys was in the house. So it was just such a neat night to see so many different people. John Dahmer showed up to support. Like I said, Brian Logan showed up. You know, it was a great time. Donnie, are you ready for this? We all know how Brian Logan is afraid. He's afraid of bad areas. You know, you ready for this, Donnie? Brian paid a gas station attendant $40 to watch his car while he was in the building.
No way.
Yeah. He said the guy was very happy to do it.
The gas attendant fucked up. He should have charged him $100 to get his car back.
He should have.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, Donnie. There was plenty of room for the wrestlers in the parking lot to the venue. So he would have had no problem.
Well, he didn't want to park next to an unsightly automobile.
Oh,
that can't happen.
That's great.
Yeah. But anyway, referee Brian Logan, we're going to try to get him there, obviously. Great. I've talked to a few other people. There's a couple other heads out there that I've been in touch with that I'm going to pull out to surprise people, if y'all don't mind. But anyway, so that was awesome. Intermission happens. We come back with Lucky versus Declan. I didn't even want Lucky to wrestle because Danny, I don't know if you saw this or not. 4th of July, GCW, Brett Lauderdale's Fed, ran a backyard wrestling mat show that they do every year. It's like a gimmick. It's cool. In 911 Big Al's backyard.
I thought that looked familiar. I was in that backyard 100 times, dude.
That's ridiculous. 40
years. Yeah.
Dude, on this show, Facade must have put like gas in his mouth and spit on a torch and blew this big ass fireball, and Lucky blocked it with a door. Like, I don't know how his fingers didn't get incinerated. It was the sickest, craziest thing in the world that these guys do. So I didn't even want Lucky to wrestle. I said to him, I was like, dude, you're about to be banned from the building, bro. Like, we're not just going to lose the building if you wrestle here. We're going to lose the state. Like, New Jersey's going to say that's enough for wrestling, you know? But anyway, him and Declan had a great match, thumbtacks, whole nine yards. There's some discrepancy over whether Declan tapped out or was just flicking the thumbtack out of his hand while he was in the sharpshooter. So I don't know what's happening with that. But I haven't even reviewed the footage yet. I haven't even seen it all yet. Plus, I'm kind of been down and out myself. Like I said, I haven't even been to the gym yet. This has been one long day since Saturday for me, you know, period. All right. God, I feel like I've been talking too much. All right.
Yeah, big old no thank you on the death matches. I'm all good.
I don't blame
you. All good. It's impressive. I don't know how you're doing it. I don't get it. It's pretty awesome to watch you guys do this at this level. I don't know how old you are, man, but at this age and this, you know, this long after, you know, our careers, you know, I was watching you guys, you know, still interested, still doing it, and, you know, hanging out with the guys from the past and from the present, you know, it's just definitely impressive. And to see Donnie be with you still, you know, heat, nothing ever came up, nobody's dicks, you know, everybody's cool. And I'm still cool with Flash. We don't talk, but there's no heat, just kind of that space just happened. You know?
I talked to him recently.
Nice.
I've spoken to him. He's another one that I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I love Flash. But yeah, so then we went into these guys' match, the three stages of death. Danny, talk about building a match. Like, first it was just a match. Then it was three stages of death. Then we announced the first stage is First Blood. Second stage, Silver Slaughter Circus. And the JCW tag titles are on the line in stage two. You can hit each other with anything as long as it's silver. Then Last Man Standing. The SPO titles were on the line in that. And at the end of the day, we know that the reps still have the SPO titles, and Tommy and JP still have the JCW titles. It was a crazy match. Some of the hardest hitting things I've seen in a long time in this match. The sounds that I could hear from the locker room of these guys hitting each other with things was just ungodly. The sounds coming out of them, the vocalizations that these guys made after getting hit with these things, were the kind of vocalizations you can't fake. Wow. And the fans saw that. So these
how do I get to see this? Where do I get to see this? Here's a plug, I guess. Where do I go to see this? To see this
exactly
in length? Do I have to go to Smart Mark? You know, get the cassette when I get to Smart Mark. You know,
yeah. Wow. No, it's going to be right here on our Trip TV gimmick. Starting next week, we're going to try to start it next week. A lot's changed, so we should still be on schedule to do it next week. So we're going to start a weekly TV series, probably not going to be any longer than 20 to 25 minutes. We're not trying to do an hour a week and make people sit looking at their phones for an hour. 22 minutes, something like that. And all of these matches that happened are all going to be released over the next, say, so long, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks. So
you're looking forward to it. Awesome.
Yeah, good deal. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Pleasure. And then we made a deal. I've been talking to my friend Damon Feldman. Donnie, I don't know if you know him. Phil, you might know him. He runs a celebrity boxing.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got the big Harrah's Philadelphia Casino event coming up with Kurtzall versus Sugar Shane Mosley. And this is a big deal in Philly. His press conference last Thursday was packed. Like, it was pretty crazy. And then he's got Kimbo Slice Jr. fighting. So he's selling the place out. I mean, that's all there is to it. He always does. So
can you go back to the previous one?
Sure. The
first one.
Yep. Follow Celebrity Boxing on IG. It's Celebrity Boxing 1. But there you go.
So that's celebrity guest referee Damon Dash of that's Jay-Z's former manager.
Yes.
Rockefeller Records. Okay. Wow.
That's right.
No shit. No kidding.
Yep. Check it out at Official Celebrity Boxing. I was talking to Damon today for a while. He's going to come down. We're going to talk soon at the school or somewhere else and try to get some things going. Because as you guys know, next Tuesday on the first edition of Trip TV, we are going to announce our Philadelphia venue and date 1 week from tonight. So tonight you got our September 14th date right at the same place right here in Gloucester City, New Jersey, as this past Saturday was. And now next Saturday, right here on this show, we are going to announce our Philly date and our Philly venue. So do not miss that right here next week. And guys, we're going to be on tour with JCW. So we're going to be showing you inside the tour while we're on this TV as well. And look at this, guys. Tommy, what's this?
This is some preview of some new gear that we got coming.
Silvers. Some
silver with some
hatchet
with
man
with silvers, some hatchet man silvers, courtesy.
That's hot.
Tommy, I got a question for you. Tommy,
what's up?
If somebody would have told you, if I would have told you a year and a half, right before you met Johnny, that someday you would be one half of the new Backseat Boys, the team that you idolize, and wrestling on a tour for the Juggalo Championship Wrestling, would you have believed me?
I would have thought you were ribbing me.
Yeah, bro. This has to be for you like a complete dream come true. Like you must fucking wake up every morning and just pinch yourself like this isn't really happening, dude. I was just thinking that just hit me when I saw that.
I every single day I'm thankful, Donnie. And I if this is a dream, I never want to wake up.
No, that's awesome, man. That's the magic of pro wrestling. Like Boomer to tell you, like that's the magic right there, man. Yep.
Speaking of the magic of pro wrestling, Phil, do you want to read the Chris Gorish's Rat Boys line for us there?
Rat Boy versus Donnie B in celebrity boxing. Let's go.
I think one of the prerequisites for celebrity boxing is you need at least one celebrity. So I'm not sure which fucking one of us. It ain't me. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say it ain't Rat. Maybe it's Rat Boy. I have no idea. But
let me just say this.
I submit Rat Boy. You win.
Let me just say this. The Feral Face is interested in celebrity boxing. Christina Marie is interested in celebrity boxing. The Rep may be interested in celebrity boxing. I've done celebrity boxing in the past. So you never know. We'll see what happens. Celebrity boxing is a good deal, man. They draw a lot of people. They have a lot of rabid fans, and Damon knows what the hell he's doing. And Damon's going to help us promote our Philadelphia debut. So we're in league with celebrity boxing. We're in league with hybrid wrestling too. Mike Hamilton, my former student from Pro Wrestling Unplugged. You know, he runs hybrid, and we're going to be working with him in the future. So look for more announcements from us from Spo Wrestling, in league with hybrid wrestling, and of course celebrity boxing. And awesome. Donnie, get your shy running again so you can be in league with us, like they say in Sopranos. You got get your Tom's River territory up and running, brother. Let's own this joint.
I think it's burned to the ground after all the shit that's been around here for the last 5 years other than me.
Just get a plan B. That's why we're going to California, guys. This is why we're going all the way out to California. Talk, Tommy. What's this?
Oh, man, this is going to be our California debut for VWC Back to School Beatdown. Let's see. We got the Backseat Boys. We got our homie Simon Gotch. We got Matt Riddle. We got Chris Nasty. We got Tortuga, Eli Everfly, Wicked Wicked, and so much more. Valley Wrestling Connection, August 31st. The Backseat Boys make our California debut.
That's awesome.
And we are taking on the Wrestle Buddies.
Nice. There it is. And I'm going to be wrestling too, guys. Who knows who? Maybe they'll put me up against Simon Gotch and I just won't come home because I'll be dead.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to tell Violent J that Simon Gotch is replacing you on the tour is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Simon Gotch and Silvers.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go.
Silver Simon.
Yeah.
Phil can take my spot against Rat Boy. There you
speaking
go.
Of real, speaking of good. Real quick, I just want to pay some bills real quick, and I want to plug the Three Town Beatdown. That's going to start in about a week. JCW Three Town Beatdown Friday. It's going to be July 25th in Fort Wayne, Indianapolis. July 26th in Newport, Kentucky, and July 27th in Nashville, Tennessee. You can catch the Backseat Boys live on all three dates for Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Where's the one in Nashville
wrestling.
At? Where's the Nashville? One in Nashville? What's the? Where's that at?
I don't think we have the buildings yet.
Oh.
Yeah. I got to look
at
that.
There's a badass concert hall down there. It's like a bowling / concert hall. I wonder if it's there. If so, that building is fantastic. When I was in Nashville last month, we saw Wolfie Van Halen there.
Word.
That's awesome. Yeah. I wonder
that's
if it's
awesome.
There.
How was he?
Oh, he was cool, dude. Cool shit. Cool dude. Cool show. Great show. Nashville is fucking awesome. I love Nashville.
I love Van Halen, man.
Hell yeah.
So do I. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used Van Halen for our Philly announcement. When we announced Philly, we used it for the Panama.
Mm-hmm.
Panama.
Who sings that?
Van Halen.
Van Halen.
Keep it that way.
I knew that. I did not. Oh, that's coming, right?
Should have felt it.
Doomer, Doomer saw it coming.
Yeah.
Can't leave that one on the table.
I got to say real quick, you guys working for Juggalos, you know, I didn't even know they were still doing stuff, which is awesome. But I felt like way back when they got it because I was in Palo Alto. I don't know if anybody else, you guys were there, but I was in Palo Alto. I was working the Finn Twins. It was Gregory Martin and Strader. And those guys were working for WCW. We're just traveling through on their bus and looking for indie shows and said, hey, and Mike Burns thought it was a work, you know, thought it was a gimmick. And he said, hey, they pop in. They didn't want any money. They just wanted to get in the ring and just do some nonsense. And they just popped in their bus pulled in there and Palo Alto, PA, and those guys, there's Jay and Two Dope, you know, rocking and rolling. That was pretty cool. Yeah, I got of course, I worked my way in there to go out and introduce my best friends, introduce my best friends that are now, blah, blah, blah.
You got to check out their gig, bro. You got to check that out look into them. Definitely. They got like, I think 60, 70 or 80 dates on this tour.
Wow.
And they've been doing this for like the last few decades and they get thousands of people at every event. Like this is the best kept secret. When I was looking into this and they were explaining it to me, I was like, holy shit, this is fucking incredible. It is, bro.
I'll definitely check it out.
Go look at it. You'll be
I'm
like,
under
what?
A rock.
Yeah. So was I.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait.
Hats off to them.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I like back in the day when they got it. I mean, obviously they still get it, you know, just work that crowd. Are they good people? Are they good? Not just good people, but are they good? Are they healthy? Are they happy? You know, everybody good? You know,
yeah.
I don't know their real names. I just knew them, met them for a minute, you know?
Yeah. No, everyone's good.
We had Violent J on the show a few weeks ago. He was talking about the tour and he was so nice. What a cool guy, man. Just a normal, nice guy. He was cool.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Just a normal, nice guy. He wants to hang out and just watch wrestling and talk wrestling. And, you know, when he's not doing music, he just wants to be entertained, man. He loves Bigfoot, loves Michael Jackson and Prince and Pearl Jam. And that's it.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. How about we talk about Jay a lot. What about I keep wanting to say Two Dope and Sideswipe. So
Shaggy.
Yeah.
Shaggy. Yes.
Well, unfortunately, Shaggy hasn't really been coming around the wrestling events lately. Jay's been all involved, but the poster for the Gathering of the Juggalos has been released, and okay. front and center, actually, you will find the Backseat Boys matched up with the Insane Clown Posse, both nice. Jay and Shaggy.
Wait,
so,
what?
Yeah, here, check this out. So Oh wait, hold on. I got it on my phone right here. Here we go. If it'll,
you got your background
it's not really
on.
Showing on the green. Yeah, send that to me. That is nice. So cool, dude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. No, I'm lifelong Juggalo. Always appreciated the both of them, but you know, just Jay's words, not mine. Shaggy's just he's not inundated in wrestling Fair at enough. The moment, but you know, something tells me that there's something to be, you know, seen if we're yeah. going to be placed right on the poster with them. So yeah
that's all. Cool. That's great.
Yeah. Good. So real quick, just remember everybody, use Backseat Boys promo code at REDCON1 to get your 20% off energy drinks, any kind of supplements. I use the protein. It's awesome protein, very clean. And then check out your Backseat Boys merchandise at Pro Wrestling Tees. We have t-shirts, all kinds of stuff to buy there. But anyway, the third stage of death, guys, it was awesome. The last man standing. JP got handcuffed. Of course, there was debauchery, whatever. It was still a match for the ages. It's going to have to be at least two episodes on Trip TV because of how long and brutal it was. And that brings us to my match, which we've already spoken about. Originally, we were going to have Veronica Kane, if she's hardcore there. She was under the weather the day of and couldn't make it. But the match itself was probably one of the craziest things I've ever done in the ring, and I was in uneffing believable. So did we top uneffing believable? Probably not. That can probably never be done. But was it
it's two
cool?
different matches. You're comparing a singles to a tag. I think you and Face brought something new, and Face is, I think the both of you stepped in and stepped out completely different people of that match.
I agree with that. Face is something else, man. He's something special, and I have to admit that whether I like him or not, period. So Donnie taught me a good promoter makes money with his talent, period.
Yep.
You know?
Well,
so we got to
give credit where I'll give credit where credit is due, and you know, say the same thing about the rep. You know, might not like them right now, but god damn are they a good tag team. I wish they didn't have to rely on Dewey to bail them out and, you know, freaking go and handcuff Justin's ankles and, you know.
And look at this. That is the most despicable picture I've ever, like, you look up despicable in the dictionary. Look at the dog, scared to death. Look at Dave in the background with his hand on his head enjoying it. That's Dewey's jacket that you see there. Like,
yep.
It's just unbridled happiness at the expense of Pat Dynamite for no reason. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. All like, because they just Pat earned a number one title shot at Channing Decker, but that's how
you just dog napped the man's dog, hopped in a car, and then went. Like, we don't know where that is. Like, that's were they the on someone's couch? Like, seriously,
that's the business for you now, Doomer. They dog nap and dog sit, and all kinds of craziness happen nowadays. They'll whip you off and they'll say a wrestler's name. Did you know that, Doomer? I tell all the old G's that. Oh,
no.
Imagine you're in a ring and someone whips you off and says Jay Lethal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to know that there's a certain move now.
Are you throwing Jay Lethal at me? Like, what?
Does he only have one move?
But it's Jay? It's not Jay. Jay's not the guy whipping you off, though.
I understand that. So you're saying Jay Lethal. So basically, you know, Jay Lethal is coming up. So
yeah, it's a front. It's a handstand into the ropes and then back to his feet and then handspring.
Of course it is.
It's
you got to know that.
It's what Tajiri used to do, only he comes back and catches him with a diamond cutter instead of a
got
back
it.
Elbow.
Which sounds better than Tajiri's. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm waiting for the Danny Rose. It should be the Rachi release plex or the hard buckle. You know, that's all I have.
Let's bring him back. We got to bring him back, man. You got to bring him back. Teach us. Teach us and we shall learn, my friend. But yeah, so next Saturday, we're going to announce our date and venue for Philadelphia. And don't forget, September 14th, right in Gloucester City, New Jersey, we're going to be back with another event. The Season of Death continues. I am in meetings tomorrow with John Zandig. Hopefully, as long as everything goes right, I'm going to meet him. So over the next week, hopefully we have more information. Check out our social media. Stay in tune with Spo Wrestling because you do not want to miss what happens the next few days. When we have to unintentionally extend a season of death, you know good things are going to happen, people. So pay the hell attention. That's all I got to say. Yeah, you've been warned again. You've been warned. I'm not begging anyone to come to these events. You don't come, but you're going to miss it. Period.
We're not going on strike here in SPO Wrestling. We are fully inundated in making sure that our events are, you know, top to bottom, fantastic. And in order to do that, sometimes we have to go against our own schedule, and that's kind of what's happening. We were hoping to step out of Season of Death, and irregardless of any title situations, the Season of Death is clearly alive and well. So, amen to that.
Well, and you know what, Danny, and you'll, I think I said this earlier. I don't care. I'll say it again. When John was in Japan, he had to call us to run shit for him. You know, like we're not going to be here. That's why I have guys like you, guys like Donnie, guys like Phil, that I trust to be in the back and run things according to, you know, the way we do it, you know, the old school way. Cause we're,
that's awesome. A lot of pride in that.
Yeah. And SPO is not reinventing a wheel.
No,
maybe we're realigning it a little bit in our to what we believe is more aligned, but we're not reinventing anything. We're just doing it the old school way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yes, sir.
All right. Anything else left to plug, guys? We're pretty much done here, I believe. I think there's one more thing.
Great seeing Doomer. You know,
pleasure being here, man.
Like I said, bro, just see, you know, and like I said, I know you said before you thought maybe back in the day I didn't like you or this and that or wasn't fond of you. It wasn't that. You also have to remember at the time I was promoting full time. So whenever I walked into somebody else's locker room, you had a line out the door. Hey, Donnie B, he don't book me. Fuck Donnie B. So I had to be careful. Yeah. You know what I mean, bro? Like I always
absolutely.
I had to be real careful. And guys used to say like, oh, Donnie B was an asshole to me. He didn't, but it wasn't that. It's just that I couldn't open myself fully to have those same types of relationships with everybody because then I would feel bad if I didn't book them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't book everybody, man.
Yeah. And you get it. And everybody should want to get booked off.
Of course.
If a promoter comes in the room, everybody in the room should want to go up to the promoter and get booked. That's their fucking job.
Exactly.
So I'd always want to just tell you that and everybody else, man.
I appreciate
so much
it.
Fun with Deeds and you and Barbarian and Love Bug, Marshall, all those guys, man.
Yeah.
You guys made my time in the business so fun, dude. So thank you.
Yeah. Likewise, guys. Likewise. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, boys.
Thanks for joining us.
Hell yeah. Oh, dude. My pleasure. I can't wait to come back again. And I'm going to see you. Just when you text me, I'm going to whatever shows, just let me know. And if I'm not already somewhere else with family or whatever, I'll be there.
Yeah. Hell yeah, bro.
I'll get you the dates, brother.
I'll get you the dates ASAP.
Sounds good. There's so much more to talk about.
If you want to stay on to me and you can talk a few more minutes, we can, but we got to let everyone
know. I'm good.
Love
thanks.
Love you even more.
All right. Love you guys. Take care.
Right. Thank you, brother.
I don't want to get off this thing. Are you?
Last laugh.
Wow. Wait a minute, real quick. Can we all agree that the single greatest. The single greatest moment in Spocast history is when Doomsday thought that Phil was fucking Nick Burke.
What have I done wrong in my life?
I'm going to go to bed probably around midnight tonight. Right before I shut my eyes and put my little fan on next to me. That's going to be the lasting memory of today for me, that you were called Nicholas Burke.
Well, Danny was looking at his phone. Danny was looking at his phone from far away and saw the red glasses. And I guess thought it was Nick Burke. That's over.
That's AKA hysterical. Phil Stamper.
Dude, Nick Burke comes up on this podcast every week somehow. We're going to have to get him on here eventually. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. But anyway, real quick, we're going to have Friday Night Fully Charged again on August 2nd with Super Crazy. So check that out. It's only $5 admission right there in our building. And remember, we are training there too, so you can come down and train with me on Wednesdays. And everybody, keep in touch because we're going to try to get Zandig to run the next event while we're on tour. So stay in touch with SPO Wrestling on our IG, on our X. And everybody,
thank you all.
Tournament of Death continues. Good night.
Season of Death.
Season
Season of Death.